Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is Peter Jennings, Marketing Executive here at Sintons. For today's podcast, I'm joined by my colleague, Samuel Scott, who is a solicitor in the employment team here at Sintons. Today, Samuel will be discussing the reduction in time periods for the disclosure of criminal convictions. So without any further delay, good morning, Samuel, and over to you.
Thanks, Peter. Hi, everyone. I'm Samuel and I'm a solicitor in the employment team at Sintons. And today I'm going to talk about a reduction in the time periods for the disclosure of criminal convictions. This is a topic that's recently been in the news, and it's a topic that Sintons employment team have recently wrote about on their website. And this podcast supplements that article being published. The changes came into force on the 28th of October, so within the last couple of weeks, and the reforms amend the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act 1974. And what these reforms do is reduce the time that it takes for criminal convictions to become spent. The difference between an unspent conviction and a spent conviction changes the way in which individuals need to disclose that information to prospective employers, to education institutes, to insurance providers, and to housing authorities. We believe these changes are mostly going to impact employers and organisations who are required to complete DBS checks as part of their recruitment process and as part of their ongoing safeguarding process that their human resources teams will do. And before I go into the changes, I'm just going to provide a bit of a breakdown about what the difference is between an unspent conviction and a spent conviction and how that impacts when DBS checks are being completed. So, an unspent conviction appears on an individual's criminal record and it shows up on any version of the DBS check. So you might be aware there's three different types of DBS check. There's basic, standard, and enhanced. And depending on what industry you operate within or what type of role you're recruiting for, you'll be required to either do a basic, a standard, or enhanced. And for unspent convictions, that conviction will appear regardless of which of the three levels of DBS check that you complete. Unspent convictions must also be declared if you ask an individual about them, say within an interview process or within a HR meeting. So if you're an employer and you sit down with an employee and say, have you got any unspent convictions? That employee is obliged to disclose them to you. A spent conviction does not appear on the individual's criminal record and only shows up on the standard and enhanced DBS checks. Therefore, it doesn't appear on the basic DBS checks. It'll appear on the standard and enhanced DBS checks unless the conviction is subject to the appropriate filtering rules, and these relate to how long it's been since the spent conviction became spent. As I said, on unspent convictions, they need to be disclosed if asked about them. And the main difference with spent convictions is that they don't need to be disclosed when asked about them unless you are recruiting for an accepted role or an accepted position, they're sometimes known as. And there's about 70 different types of roles that are defined as accepted. And as you would expect, these include roles like teacher or classroom assistant, where you're safe, there's a safeguarding of children, or if you're a care worker and you're working with vulnerable people. It also relates to the role of police officers and accountants and solicitors. So they're the types of roles where there's an extra duty to make sure you're recruiting people who you know what's happened in their background. And if you are recruiting for an accepted role and you ask an employee if they've got any spent convictions, they will have to declare it. If an employee does have, or a prospective employee does have a spent conviction, it would be unlawful for you to refuse the individual that role simply because they have that spent conviction, unless you're recruiting for an accepted role. So if you're not recruiting for an accepted role, like those I mentioned, lawyer, accountant, teacher, and an individual has a spent criminal conviction, it would be unlawful for you to refuse the individual the role for the fact that they have a spent conviction. However, the position is different if it's an accepted role. If it's an accepted role, you may refuse to employ the individual on that basis. So you have some discretion in how you make your mind up. And the types of factors that you should take into account when exercising that discretion, there's no set guidelines, but the charity NACRO, which is formerly known as the National Association of Discharged Prisoners, has recommended some factors that employers should take into account. And that includes whether the conviction is relevant to the position that you're recruiting for, seriousness of the offence that was committed, and the length of time since that offence was committed. So these are the types of questions that employers should ask themselves when they're recruiting for an accepted role and the individual has a spent conviction. So now that we understand the difference between unspent convictions and spent convictions, we need to address what the purpose of this reform that happened on the 28th of October changes. So there's a time period which is set on how long the unspent conviction then becomes a spent conviction. And what this change has done is significantly reduced the period of time that it takes for a conviction to become spent. So the periods have dramatically decreased. And there's different periods, whether it's an adult or whether it's a child under 18. The position used to be that if an individual was in custody for a year or less, the conviction would either expire within 2 years after the custody finishes or within 4 years after the custody finishes for an adult. And it's a less period for under 18s. However, the new position is that for adults who are in custody for a year or less, their conviction will become spent after 1 year. So it's halved. And for under 18s, it's 6 months. So that's a third of what it used to be. One of the main differences is that custodial sentences of more than 4 years for either adults or children used to never become spent. So if an individual was in custody for more than 4 years, regardless of what point in their life they committed the crime, that conviction would always appear unspent whenever they were applying for jobs or applying to the housing authorities or to insurance providers or to education institutes. So the new position is that for custodial sentences of more than 4 years, for adults, their conviction will become spent after 7 years. And for under 18s, their conviction will become spent after 3.5 years. One key exclusion to that is that convictions which relate to serious sexual violence or terrorist offences will never become spent. So for the most serious crimes, they will still remain unspent for the duration of an individual's life. But for those custodial sentences which are 4 years or more, which don't fall within that exclusion, they will become spent after the requisite period of time. The reason the government's making these changes is because following government research, they've understood that former offenders who find steady employment after being released are 9% less likely to commit crimes in the future. And the government currently spends an estimated £18 billion each year in relation to those who reoffend and trying to stop those who were released from custody from reoffending in the future. So should an individual's sentence become spent sooner, the government estimates that then they've got a greater chance of getting into new employment and a greater chance of not reoffending in the future. And the government estimates that these changes will benefit nearly 125,000 people who were sentenced in 2022 alone. So that's just 1 year, and they think it's going to affect 125,000 people. So if we look at all the years when people are convicted, it is going to have a huge impact on those getting released and how soon their convictions become spent, and that's going to affect their opportunities in the job market. So for employers and businesses who are recruiting individuals who have unspent and spent convictions, there's likely to be an impact. So I'm going to separate this into two main impacts. So the first impact is if you're an employer or an organization and you're recruiting for a role which isn't accepted, because it would be unlawful for you to refuse an individual the role if they had a spent conviction, you're more likely going to be placed in that position because their unspent convictions become spent sooner. The second impact is for employers who are recruiting for an accepted role. And what this change is going to mean is that on a more regular basis, you'll be required to exercise that discretion when an individual has spent convictions but is applying for an accepted role. In terms of the risk for employers who exercise that discretion incorrectly, say you're carrying out a DBS check on an employee who's already got 2 years service and that DBS check comes back with a spent conviction. If you decided to dismiss that employee for the purpose of that spent conviction, that employee may have a claim for unfair dismissal as they would have the requisite level of service to bring one of those claims. However, if you deny a role to a job applicant for an accepted role, that individual is not going to have the 2 years requisite service to bring an unfair dismissal claim. The options for that job applicant are limited in terms of what types of claims they could bring against an employer or an organisation, as there's no standalone claim for failing to employ someone who has a spent conviction for an accepted role, and therefore they would have limited options. However, that individual may have grounds to complain to the Information Commissioner's office for your improper processing of their personal data. So whilst there is no standalone claim if an employer or an organisation exercises that discretion wrongly, there is still a risk, and potentially the Information Commissioner's office could take further action if there has been some improper processing. And that's everything that I wish to discuss today. If there is any more questions that you have about this development in the law, please feel free to contact either myself or another member of the Sinton's employment team. And I'll just pass back to Peter.
Thanks, Samuel. Really enjoyed that one. We continue to work hard to produce, release and deliver useful and relevant content, articles, podcasts and blogs, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. You can also follow the employment team on Twitter at SintonsHR. If you'd like to discuss anything raised in today's podcast further, you can contact Samuel via telephone on 0191 226 7878 or via email samuel.scott@sintons.co.uk. All that's left for me to say is thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.